Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All glory, all honor, all adoration be unto you, Father. We say, be thou exalted. We say, be thou glorified. We say, thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Can we take this song together wherever you are? You don't have to unmute yourself. Just sing it from the bottom of your heart. All glory must be to the Lord, for he is worthy of our praise. Oh, no man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the Lord. All the glory must be to the Lord, to the Lord. For he is worthy of our praise. No man on earth should give glory to himself. All the glory must be to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Can you just begin to worship God from the bottom of your heart this evening? Thank you, Father. We have come this far because of you, Father. We have come this far only by your grace, Father. We have come to declare that we are sorry in your grace. We are all that we are. We are where we are. We are who we are. We are what we are because of you, Father. We say thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Continue to worship God. Continue to express your gratitude to him. Thank you, Father. 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 Oh, you are glorious. So glorious in your ways. Oh, you are marvelous. So marvelous in your ways. Oh, you are wonderful. So wonderful in your ways. Oh, you are glorious. So glorious in your ways. Oh, you are wonderful. So wonderful in your ways. We thank you, Father, because even though your ways are far higher than ours, even though your thoughts are far higher than ours, it is your intention to bring us to the understanding of your ways. It is your intention for us to walk in your ways. It is your intention for us to think your thoughts. It is your intention for us to live your life. We say, be thou exalted. We say, be thou glorified. We thank you, Father, because you have given unto us all that pertains to living and godliness. We say, be thou glorified. We say, be thou exalted. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I want to use this opportunity to welcome everyone to the year 2024 officially. This is our first meeting of the year, and it's a wonderful and a glorious meeting already. We give all the glory to God. Hallelujah. We give all honor to God and all adoration for this day and every day. Now, I have said this before, and I'm going to say it again. The year 2024 is going to be your year of the clarity and reality of the rest that is in Christ. Hallelujah. Let me repeat this. It is going to be the year of your clarity and reality of the rest that is in Christ. Now, it is important that I say at this point, it is very important that I say this now, that this is the word of God unto us this year. The experience of it is conditional. Listen to me. Every word of God that came unto you, 90% of it has its experience based on a condition. Hallelujah. And the condition is that you are able to believe and hold on to it. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." We which have believed do enter into rest. Hallelujah. That's what we're going tonight. Tonight, our emphasis is on the mystery of righteousness. We have come to look at one of the keys that are important to the experience of anything that God promises a man. Righteousness. Interestingly, Jesus also, the first podcast of the year 2023 was also titled The Mystery of Righteousness. You know, I was listening to that teaching, I think 2 days ago or just yesterday. Oh, earlier this morning. Yes, this morning. I was listening to it, The Mystery of Righteousness, and I sat down and I began to meditate and I began to be like, wow, God is wonderful. You know why? Because many of the things that we talked about last year were just foundational. They were basics. And I understand, I'm being honest with you, I understood instantly, just this morning, I understood instantly why God is asking us to start again this year with the mystery of righteousness. Because the understanding we had about righteousness before needs to get better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, this teaching is going to be a series. We can't exhaust it in one day. So probably it's going to be a two-time or three-time part series. It depends. But by the grace of God, it's going to be a series. So that means we're going to continue for whatever we stop today. We're going to continue next week Sunday. So I am imploring you ahead. Make sure you don't miss it. Now, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. This is a very popular scripture. We're talking about the mystery of righteousness. Very popular scripture. Jesus made a claim here that if there is no scripture in the Bible that I want to understand, there is one I must understand and there is one I must experience. And this is true for every believer in Christ. I mean, after experiencing John 3:16, okay, the love of God and receiving the life of God through his love, are we together now? There is one more scripture you must, by all means, understand and live. And I discovered that it is the same scripture that we do not understand today and we do not live today and we do not have the experience of it today. And that is why Christianity is what it looks like today, especially in some parts of the world. Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew 33. Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking here. It's very clear, very clear. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God." Now, he was talking in the context of what a man should pursue with his life. He was talking within, please pay attention to this. If you read from verse 29, you know, down to 33, you realize what he was talking about. He was speaking within the context of what a man should spend the bulk of his life pursuing. And so if a man is spending the bulk of his life pursuing a thing, it then means that the existence of the man is centered upon that thing. He told them, don't bother about food and drink. Don't bother. And of course, you and I know that man needs food to survive. It is the same Jesus that said, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So if Jesus is saying, don't bother about food, and you need food to survive. So whatever it is that is asking you to bother about aside food, must have a greater importance to your life and destiny than food. So if food keeps you alive and gives you strength, to continue to live, whatever it is Jesus is asking you to live food for, must be the very reason for your existence. Are we together now? What is he asking you to live food for and clothing for? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he said, every other thing, including the food, shall be added to you. Now, what was Jesus really saying? And that is what we have come to dedicate the bulk of this series to understanding. What was Jesus really saying in Matthew 6:33? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, he didn't say and its righteousness. If you look at the Bible verse there, it said, seek ye first. I used to read it before. You know, I used to read it before as, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. So I used to think Jesus was talking about the righteousness of the kingdom. But no, that's not what Jesus was talking about. That's not what he was talking about. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and then his righteousness, talking about God's righteousness. And then every other thing shall be added. God's righteousness. Now, of the three things that Jesus talked about there, three important things. One, the kingdom of God. Two, is righteousness. Three, is the recipient of all other things. One is kingdom. Two is righteousness. Three, the receipt of all the other things. Now, we can find from the scripture that if this scripture is not an experience you have already, okay, something is wrong. That we cannot experience what Jesus said doesn't make Jesus a liar. It simply means we probably didn't understand it or we couldn't receive what he has said. Now, pay attention to this. Regarding the issue of the kingdom, he said there are two things that are required for the receipt of all things. Please pay attention, brethren. There are two things that are required for the receipt of all things. We'll talk about the receipt of all things later. Just pay attention now because of our time. Two things. One, the kingdom of God. And now we have taught here that the kingdom of God simply refers to the life of God in us. The life of God working through us. Because the kingdom of God is the dominion of God anywhere. It can be in heaven. It can be under the earth. It can be even in the earth. It can be anywhere. Anywhere the presence of and dominion and authority of God is, there is the kingdom of God there. And you and I know that God dwells in men. In the book of Luke, I think chapter 17, when the Pharisees were talking to him, he made it clear that, see, what I was saying earlier about the kingdom of God, you don't understand me. I said that the kingdom of God is in you. So what this means? In the book of 1 John, the Bible says that this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So if you receive the Son of God, I am taking time to take some of these things out of the way so that you can understand now. So if you have received the Son of God, okay, that means you have received the life of God. Hallelujah. And if you have indeed received the life of God, I'm saying again that you have received the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is no longer your problem. You have it. If you're a believer in Christ, shout hallelujah. So if you're a believer in Christ, you already have the kingdom of God. It's not your problem. So your problem is not the kingdom of God. The first requirement, done. Now, the second requirement is righteousness. And the third thing is the promise. All things shall be added unto you. Now, this is the interesting part. Normally, it should be that a man would meet the first requirement, the second requirement, and then the third one will be released, right? But God didn't do it like that. This is what God did. God made it possible for the man to have a down payment. Listen to this now. Every believer in Christ has a down payment on all things that he needs for life and godliness from the day he receives the kingdom of God. Let me repeat that. Please, you might want to help us type that on the group, please. Every believer in Christ receives a down payment on all the things that you need, both for life and godliness. Now, when we say down payment, we don't mean a part of it. We mean the full pay. Hallelujah. And that is why the Bible didn't say that these things will be given to you again. In Romans chapter 8, Apostle said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, he said, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory which shall be revealed. So the gift unto you, listen to this, from the day you received the Lord Jesus has been added to you. What is left is the revelation of it. Believe the word. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. It says, according as his divine power has given unto you all things that pertain to living and godliness. According as his divine power, he said, has given to you all things that pertain to living and godliness. So you have received, look at this now, you received all things that pertain to living and godliness, the same thing Jesus promised you, all other things. He said you received it when the divine power came into you. Ephesians 3:20 tells us how the divine power works. It says it resides in you. Now I'm quoting the scriptures, I'm mentioning them so that we can, you know, tally these things together. So listen to this now. What is, you will need to understand that from the day you receive the Lord Jesus, you have received the kingdom of God. That is settled. Hallelujah. That is settled. There is no argument in that. Now, from that same day, there is a down payment. When I say down payment, I don't mean partial payment. I mean full payment. There is a down payment of everything that you need for living and godliness that same day. But the experience of these things is revelational. So what makes it possible, pay attention everybody, is his righteousness. The missing key that makes the revelation of all that God has done for you, okay, that makes it impossible to reach is his righteousness. So paying attention to his righteousness is something that is extremely profitable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if Jesus was saying that, my friend, come, when you receive me, you receive a down payment on all that you are going to need in life. What you need is to just find out the righteousness of God. That is one is going to be your job. Hallelujah. So that means that we must understand what righteousness means. Because if you can't understand what righteousness means, we can't understand, you know, what Jesus was really saying. Now, we talked about some basics of righteousness in the mystery of righteousness last year. And, you know, we're not going to go into the basics today. We're going to go a little bit deeper. Hallelujah. Believing that we already have an understanding of the basics. Now, if you don't have an understanding of the basics, please, you can just refer to our teaching on the mystery of righteousness, dated January 18 or so, 2023. You can find it on our podcast. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. The first time the word righteousness was used in the Bible, it was used for Abraham. The very first time. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Now, let's look at what God said. Let's look at how righteousness came into, became, became introduced into the Bible, and it became a word upon which we began, it became a mystery. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. This is the very first time, and here it involved a man. Praise the Lord. Here it involved a man we already know. His name was Abraham. So, all things being equal, Abraham was the first man that was declared righteous. Now, we must understand that Abraham existed much after Enoch. He existed much after, long after Noah. And there were many more people before Abraham, that had a relationship with God, even in the world. But in this time, something was special about Abraham. Something was special about the relationship between Abraham and God, that the word righteousness was introduced. Genesis 15:6, it said, and he believed in the Lord. This is it. Abraham believed in the Lord. Pay attention to this. Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham believed. We may not understand this properly until we read Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Now look at this. The word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. And God continually spoke to him and told him about the wonderful things he wants to do through his life and, with his life. And the Bible says in verse 6 that Abraham believed God, and God was forced to do something. God counted that belief, that faith, for righteousness. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God, and God counted it for righteousness. There must be something about that belief. Listen to this. It is not the faith we've been talking about. There must be something about the faith of Abraham that made God count it. So it means that it was not just one thing. He had faith in God, and it became an expression of his life. And God had to be like, no. This guy, you keep amazing me. Okay, I declare you righteous. I want you to see a pattern. We are coming. I want you to see a pattern. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. You're going to see a pattern now. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Pay attention. Therefore, having been justified by faith. It says, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Therefore, having been justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God. You see a pattern? A pattern begins to emerge. The first thing I want you to understand is that it is God that declares a man righteous. God is the judge and the sole, the sole judge of whether a man is righteous or not. And he has prepared a pattern. Before Abraham came, there was not really a pattern. Are we together now? Before Abraham came, there was not really a definite pattern for man to attain righteousness. Are we together now? But when Abraham came into the picture, God spoke to him impossible things. God told him things that were impossible to the minds of men. And the Bible said Abraham believed God. And God was like, what kind of person is this? And he said, you know what? Righteousness will start from you. Many people were called many things. But Abraham was called the friend of God. Hallelujah. Abraham was called the friend of God. So Abraham became a partner. Hear this very well. Abraham became a partner with God. And so because they were friends, listen to this. What you don't understand what these things mean. They became peers. Abraham became someone God could relate with. Are we together now? God became someone Abraham could walk with. How? All he did was to believe God. Hallelujah. All he did was to believe God. And God counted it for righteousness. Now, the same way that you have been justified, all you had to do was to believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's all. And by your faith in Christ Jesus, you are justified. You became a righteous man. I want to get it now. You became what? A righteous man. And by being a righteous man, there is peace between you and God. Now, there is peace between you and God does not mean that you are walking with God. We realize that the relationship between Abraham and God was not just about peace. It wasn't just about peace. They were peers. They walked like peers. Abraham became, you know, we like to call him an intercessor in that scenario when he was interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah. I did not see him as an intercessor. I saw him as a peer, someone God was consulting to take decisions on earth. God looked up and down. He could not find anybody to relate the matters of the earth. That you don't understand. He did not find anybody living on earth to relate the matters of the earth to. So he came to Abraham and said, "My friend, I cannot be doing things in your territory and you do not know." So invariably, what you do not realize is that God treated earth as Abraham's territory because of one thing: righteousness. Now, if you notice these two scriptures, Genesis 15:6, Romans 5:1, there is a definite relationship between faith and righteousness. There is a very clear relationship. Very definite. Righteousness comes as a result of faith. Righteousness comes as a result of faith. Righteousness comes as a result of faith. So God declares a man righteous because he believes God. So invariably, Abraham is called, listen to this. Abraham is called the father of faith because he was the one that laid the foundation and the pattern for attaining righteousness with God through faith. Are we together now? So when we're saying faith here, understand, we're not talking about believing in, you know, just like believing in God or believing that God can do things. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, the product of living according to God's word. Faith here is a product of patterning your life according to what God has said. Remember in that Genesis chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "The word of the Lord came unto Abraham." And Abraham received that word. And Abraham began to reorganize his life and began to live his life according to the word that he had received. And even though all odds were against Abraham at that age, okay, he continued to live according to what God has said, despite the fact that it did not make any sense whatsoever for him to be living that way at his age. Yet, he decided to live that way. And the Bible says God counted it for righteousness. So, what God counted for righteousness was not because Abraham said, "Okay, I've heard you," but because of the way Abraham was living his life after he had said, "I've heard you." I want to get that brain there. Faith is a product of living according to God's word. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. We're looking at the relationship between the man that God declared righteous without Jesus having to die for him or anything. God declared him righteous. Genesis chapter 15, 17 and verse 1. Thank you, Father. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. Praise God. And the Bible says, and when Abraham was 99 years old actually, he said, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am the Lord Almighty God. Hear this. Walk before me and be you perfect. Hallelujah. Now, there's a deep mystery here. God told Abraham, come. This was after God had declared him righteous. After God had declared, pay attention to this. Abraham had already been declared righteous here. He was already a righteous man. Yet, after Abraham had been declared righteous, God told Abraham, come, walk before me and attain perfection. So this is for you to understand that there is a difference between, you know, being declared righteous, hello, and living the righteousness of God. There are two different things. Or let me repeat this way. There's a difference between being righteous and, you know, living or becoming the righteousness of God. After Abraham had been declared righteous by God already, two verses prior, and those two verses prior could have been 10 years prior or 5 years prior, then God come to Abraham and he said, Abraham, walk before me, okay, and be perfect. Actually, I'm sure that if we trace that scripture very well, what God really said would have been, walk with me. I'm very sure. Most likely what God said was, walk with me and be perfect. Are we together, brethren? Be you perfect. So the goal is perfection. For the believer that has been justified by faith, hear this, that the goal is perfection. Even as we walk before God, the goal is perfection. Even as we are walking with God, the goal is perfection. So as a believer in Christ, that you have been justified by faith is one. There is a walking with God that helps you to attain perfection. It is that walking with God that the Bible calls his righteousness. You see, that walk with God is what Jesus called his righteousness. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Apostle Paul was speaking here from verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentiles. Now, verse 17 says, for therein, pay attention, for therein, in this gospel, the same gospel that you heard, okay, that you had faith and received Jesus. Now said, if you continue in that gospel, it says there is a revelation of how to walk with God. Don't forget, we have said the righteousness of God is now walking with God. So it says there is a revelation of how to walk with God as you have faith in him level by level. In other words, what the Bible was saying is that there is a revelation of how Abraham walked with God and it was counted for him. So listen to this, that you can walk with God and God is counting it for you for righteousness. Hallelujah. There is a walking. Now, the revelation of how to walk with God, okay, by faith, is in his word. You see that throughout, there is a very important relationship between faith and righteousness. Very important. Very important. Faith, righteousness, they are almost inseparable. Because the righteousness itself, okay, is underlined in a single word. Righteousness itself is defined with a single word. We'll come to that word later, definitely not today. Hebrews 10:38. The Bible says that now the just shall live by his faith. Now the just shall live by his faith. The just, the righteous man. Listen to this. So the just is the man that has been declared righteous by God. It says now the man that has been declared righteous by God is going to live by his faith. Now, how does the faith come? The faith comes by the word of God that God spoke, that means that God speaks to the man. So, they just now, listen to this now. A believer in Christ is to live by what God tells him to do. Now, the Bible says, if any man draws back from living this way, God is saying, my soul shall have no pleasure in it. So now understand this now and be clear about it once and for all, that you are to live by how God tells you to live. Now, is God going to say, do this, don't do that? You must do this, you must do that, you must do that. Of course, he will say those once in a while, but there are some certain things he has said that it is until you believe them. Now, you must understand now that believing is not just about confessing. The believing definitely is not just about the head. Now, we are talking about the believing of the spirit, which is faith. Now, so there are things that, so when you have faith, it shapes how you live your life. So when faith is, the Bible says that faith cometh, Romans 10:17 says faith cometh by hearing. So the faith will come. It means that if it's not there, you are going to know it's not there. And if it's there, you are going to know it's there. Hallelujah. So what you must notice is that it is living by faith that makes a man attract God's pleasure. Hallelujah. It is living by faith that makes a man attract the pleasure of God. So that there is peace between you and God is different. So there can be peace between you and God and he's not pleased with you. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean he's mad at you. It just means he's not pleased with you. Now, if God is not pleased with you, you can be rest assured that you're not going to get many of your petitions. So many of the times now, the reasons we don't get answers to many of the prayers that we pray is that God is not pleased with us. And now God is not pleased with us. Why? Not because he has chosen not to be pleased with us, or he's choosing to be a difficult God, but because we are not living by our faith. Now, there are many believers trying to live by another man's faith. We are trying to live by our pastor's faith. We are trying to live by the apostle's faith. We are trying to live by one man of God or the other's faith. Whereas what the Bible said is that the just shall live by his faith. So understand this, that God expects you, pay attention to this, God expects you to walk with him. So when God said, seek first the kingdom of God, when Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he actually said, find out what God wants from you when you receive the kingdom of God. Find out how God wants you to live. He said, when you find out how God wants you to live, every other thing will be added. We see this perfect example in the life of Abraham. He went from a man that didn't have two boxes. Let's say he had about two boxes anyway. Now, so he went from a man with a few boxes to becoming a nation before his death. A single man, Abraham became the kind of man that could go to war against nations, and he won. Abraham became a kind of man that was wealthy enough to scare a nation. Why? Now, it didn't have to be so, listen to this, it didn't have to be so smart or so inventive. All he did was to walk with God, and a revelation of all other things came unto him. There is no man that walks with God and lives in lack. It is impossible. Write that down. It is impossible to walk with God and live in lack. So what you must find out is how to walk with God. Not, praise God, not how to, you know, I'm trying to look for the best way to put this. Not how to, you know, bribe God. Not trying to please God by our own works. Not trying to please God by how we appear. Not trying to please God by some traditions. Not trying to please God by what we think is humanly acceptable. So because it is humanly acceptable, it should be godly acceptable. The just shall live by his faith. So the just has a problem. If he doesn't have faith, he can't walk with God. So if you can't hear God speaking to you, you can't walk. See, I must be clear about this now, that if you can't hear God speaking to you, you can't have faith. Because faith here cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you can't hear God speak to you, you can't walk with God. Hallelujah. And so if you can't walk with God, you can't have his righteousness. And if you can't have his righteousness, then there can't be a revelation of all the things that you have received. It is simple. It is direct. Yet it can be so difficult to understand. Hallelujah. Our time is fast spent. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 again. Matthew 6:33 again. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says, every other thing shall be added. Can somebody just say to themselves, I have the life of God in me. The life of God in me is my development. It is developing my body. It is developing my business. It is developing my life. It is developing every area of my life. I am led by the Spirit of God always. I have the Spirit of God living in me. The greater one is in me. I am from above. I am above all. I am joined with the Lord. I am one spirit with him. So I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away in the name of Jesus. Now, Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye then the kingdom of God above all else. And it says, every other thing shall be added. Somebody say, shall be added. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Now, listen to this. The kingdom of God is received when you receive the Lord Jesus. And because you receive the kingdom of God, listen to this, you are declared righteous. So the kingdom of God itself has its own righteousness. Hello? The kingdom of God itself has its own righteousness. That kingdom of God, when you receive it, you are declared righteous by the righteousness of that kingdom. I will get it now. That's what Romans 5:1 was trying to say. That now that you have been justified by your faith in Christ Jesus, now there is peace between you and God. It brings you to a position to be able to walk with God. It does not automatically make you walk with God. This is the righteousness of the kingdom, bringing you to a position to walk with God. Hallelujah. You become able to walk with God. Now, walking with God itself is his righteousness. Excuse me. Is somebody following? We're going to read three scriptures in 7 minutes, and then we'll close the meeting, hopefully. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Romans chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians, we're talking about the righteousness of God now. So we've said that the righteousness of the kingdom of God is different from the righteousness of God. So the righteousness of the kingdom of God is revealed, is imputed into you when you receive the Lord Jesus. It is what makes you become able to walk with God. But there is his righteousness, the righteousness of God that is revealed as you walk with God. Now, that's what we want to look at now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says that he that knew no sin, God has made him to be sin for us. Hallelujah. He that knew no sin, God has made him to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus, that didn't know sin, God made him to be sin for us. Why? That we might be made the righteousness of God. Now, listen to this. That the Bible didn't say that we shall be made the righteousness of God. It didn't say that we might receive the righteousness of God. So there is the righteousness that you receive. Listen to this now. There is the righteousness that you receive, and there is the righteousness that you earn. Are we together now? Abraham received righteousness being imputed into him, even though he earned it. But he earned it through faith. He received it by faith. Are we together now? Yet God expected him to walk before him and attain perfection. So he has to earn perfection by walking before God. Are we together now? The same way you receive the righteousness, that is what Romans chapter 5 verse 17 is talking about. That how much more they that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, he says that already in life. Because the gift of righteousness. So the gift of righteousness and abundance of grace comes along with the kingdom of God. Full package. You receive that one as a result of your faith in Christ Jesus. But the order, which is in perfection, the order that is walking with God, you have to actually walk with God. This is why the Bible verse, Romans, 2 Corinthians 5, 21 says that we might. It didn't say that we shall. That we. So it means it can happen, it cannot, it may not, it may happen, it may not happen. And that's what we're saying today. So we're seeing many believers that have already been declared righteous, but they are unable to walk with God. And so because they are unable to walk with God, well, they couldn't, reign in life. Because what Romans chapter 5 verse 21 says is that as sin has reigned unto the dead, so also shall grace reign through righteousness. Romans 5, 21. That the same way sin reigned in life through death, is that the same way God intends for grace to reign through righteousness in life. So what happens is that when you become able to walk with God, you become how do you put it now? You become a proper king. So all these confessions of I am a king in Christ Jesus come. You become a king when you are able to walk with God. See, there are levels to these things. We must understand this and say it, share the truth with each other. So you may or you may not attain the righteousness of God. So invariably, you may or you may not have all things added to you. We still have a lot to talk about all things being added to us. We still have to explain that much later, but that'll be much later. So you may or you may not. So understand the difference. There is the righteousness that is imputed into you when you receive the Lord Jesus. And then there is the one you have to earn by walking with God. And it is the one that you have to end by walking with God, okay, that unveils the revelation of all that you received when you received the Lord Jesus. Very clear, very deep, very simple. Hallelujah. So you have right standing with God. You are able to walk with God. So because you are able to walk with God, you are able to reign in life. The same way Abraham reigned in life. I do not refer to Abraham as an intercessor in that scenario. Abraham occupied the position Adam was supposed to occupy. Hello? Praise the Lord. Abraham was standing in the office of Adam that day. Adam was the one to have territory over the whole earth. And God wanted to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah. And so God came down and discussed it with Abraham. And you realize that it was Abraham that determined the pattern for which Sodom and Gomorrah was to pass or fail. It was Abraham that determined whether Sodom and Gomorrah would be saved or be destroyed. It was Abraham that said, if you find 10 people that are righteous, that are able to walk with you, then don't destroy the place. So it wasn't really God that determined whether Sodom and Gomorrah failed or passed. It was Adam. So you called him an intercessor. I call him the king on earth. So he was occupying the office of Adam. Why? Because he was able to walk with God. How many people want to be kings and queens indeed? Want to be kings and priests indeed? It comes with a price. Being able to walk before God. Or say, being able to walk with God. What we otherwise call is righteousness. Last scripture for today, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. It says that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. By these promises, wherefore has been given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises. These promises are God's word again. It now says by these promises, what was given to Abraham was also a promise. He believed those promises. He patterned his life according to those promises. Hallelujah. And it was counted unto him unto righteousness. The same thing God is doing with you. He said he has given unto you exceeding great and precious promises. That if you can receive these promises and pattern your life according to these promises, he says, then you will be able to become partakers of the divine nature. Again, he uses the word might. He didn't say you shall. Hallelujah. The Bible didn't say you shall. There are some things that the Bible says you shall have. You know, you shall reign. The Bible basically that you shall reign. If you can sort the issue of grace and understand how to use it, if you can sort the issue of righteousness, you shall reign. You shall reign. How much more they that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? If you can sort those two, you shall reign. Now, to sort righteousness itself, there is a condition. That you might become partakers of the divine nature. How many people want to become partakers of the divine nature tonight? Well, we are already partakers of the divine nature in a way, but do you want to have an experience of the divine nature? Can you just bow down your head wherever you are and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to walk with you. Help me. This is a whole new year ahead of us. This is the perfect time to set your things right. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to walk with you and attain perfection. Help me. Can we begin to pray? We are praying. In the name of Jesus, may Baria Subreda Kadisadra Shatarege, Remenosigere Kandiri Kena Sabaria no Shatarege. Ask for help. In the name of Jesus, Rabidigada, Iremena Sande, Remena Suabalega, Irebadarude Nemenekeriana Kasura Shatarabala, Hiniana Kade, Regederia Galeba Rekada, Irigadania no Segede, Egeniana Turebele Kandure Keniana Karasiate, Igagazuriba, Remenosa, Remenosa, Remenosia La Dega, Erebedia La Giga, Igegezure Kandiana Kadizendere Kenia Sharabalota Rakadega. Thank you, Father. Ah, parata, ha parata, ha parata. Ramadosa, elekiana masurembenia pareka na beri garbadosa rembenia nikadanga. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are still praying. Hallelujah. Can you begin to say, I yield myself to the Spirit of the living God that is at work with me? If you are going to be able to walk with God, that is the reason you receive the Spirit of the living God. In the name of Jesus, I yield myself, I yield myself, I yield myself to the Spirit of the living God that is at work with me. Can you begin to pray? Can you begin to pray? In the name of Jesus, I yield myself to the Spirit of the living God at work in me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Peace through me, God. Cut through me, open me up. Do your surgical works in me. Till I see like you see. Peace through me. God through me, open me up. Do your surgical works in me. Till I see like you see. Peace through me, God. Peace through me. God through me, open me up. Do your surgical works in me. Till I see like you see. Make this your prayer point. Peace through me. God through me, open me up. Do your surgical works in me. Till I see like you see. Peace through me, God, peace through me. God through me, open me up. Do your surgical works in me. Till I see like you see. If you are going to be able to walk with God, you must see like he sees. Help us, Father. I yield myself to the Spirit of the living God at work in me. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus, I yield myself to the Spirit of the living God at work in me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we begin to worship the name of the Lord tonight for all that we've received? Can we just begin to say, thank you, Father.